Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, another hour before we blast you into the weekend. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. A lot of times, well, there's a couple of words people misuse often. Literally. Great. That bothers me. That's one of my pet peeves.
Great.
Uh-huh. And unprecedented is another one. Mm. Because that encompasses everything.
I don't hear that one often.
No, you have to really listen for that.
Yeah.
And you almost have to, that's on my radar.
Yeah.
Like you have to, if you're not looking for it,
I hear you.
Kind of slips in the cracks. And it's not nearly as abundant as some of the others. But I think I'm going to use the word unprecedented right now.
Mm-hmm.
And at the risk of breaking my own rule, but unlike others, I've actually thought about this, so I don't think that somebody can say that I used it improperly. This summer is unprecedented in this regard. And you might want to say, well, in 2010, there was a lot of big names out there as well. Yeah, I understand that, but the teams didn't deconstruct their roster
to
put themselves in a position to get all these free agents. We are looking at, and, you know, it was further illuminated yesterday by the Brooklyn Nets. And you and I talked about this. It kind of popped up out of nowhere, and it seemed relatively innocuous to some. But then when you find out, whoa, they just opened up $48.6 million of cap space by making the trade that they did, and they swapped it with the Hawks, and the Hawks now have three picks in the top 17, and the Nets, blah, blah, blah. You look at the Nets and the Knicks and the Clippers, all right? The Clippers ripped up their roster in an attempt to be in a position to do what we all know they're trying to do this summer. The Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis, and the Nets have now done what they've done, okay? I am quite certain. Now, I don't know where all these players are going to go. You know where I think they're going to go, although that's even changing a little bit. I'm a little bit worried about some of my predictions. But never in the history of the NBA have we had so many teams violently rip apart their roster and put themselves in a position to get a tier one free agent, and you know what? There's no guarantee they get him.
Well, that's the thing. I think this is, it's happened to an extent over the years, but not like this. You couldn't do it before. It wasn't the same.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The same kind of desire. It hasn't been the same kind of, I don't know, we need to get this superstar right now, so we're cutting this guy and getting rid of this guy. It was, we drafted this guy 2 years ago. We're going to keep pushing and try to develop him. This was obviously before the G League and the two-way contracts that you can talk about where you can develop guys like Fred VanVleet, like Pascal Siakam. You couldn't do that before, but you can do it now. So it's just a different business of basketball. But I think that it's the interesting thing to your point is that you're seeing teams that were good doing this. It's not like, man, we won 22 games. All right, you guys stink. Like the plan we had with you guys isn't going to work. We're moving on. It's guys, teams that won 40-something games. The Clippers, I mean, they were only the 8th seed, the Clippers, but they won 48 games, right? The bottom half of the playoff-bound Western Conference was tight. You won 48 games, and you're just going to strip down? Right? And same thing with the Brooklyn Nets. They were surprised for all the season. Man, this thing is kind of working, right? And D'Angelo Russell's refound himself. LaVert is turned into a star after he spent, a month or 2 months banged up and injured. And,
oh, yeah. We thought that was
Joe Harris.
We thought that was gruesome.
Yep, Joe Harris, right? He has a little bit of a role on that team. And now you're just going to say, all right, we're starting from scratch. With no guarantee you're getting anybody. Right? Who knows if they re-sign D'Angelo Russell? He might, but he might get taken from someone else because he's a restricted free agent.
And for those who don't know, if they do get Kyrie, and that seems to be their design right now, they can go over the cap by re-signing their own free agent.
Yes.
I mean, most people know that, but just for those who might not, just so everybody's on the same
page. It's important to point that out.
Yep.
And so you used to never see teams that were trending in the right direction
Yes.
try to reshaped the whole thing in one offseason. And that's what it is. And I think that's why it's more shocking, BT, because it's not like, oh, we'll get this guy this year. We built and we got this guy's in the wings. He's going to be a great bench for us. And, you know, we got this free agent's going to come. Next year, we'll you know, hopefully have money. We'll get this other guy. It's like, let's do it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different, man. It's weird.
I'll tell you what. I don't want this to be confused with the respect I have for the Nets. And I've said many times on the air, even like, you know, let's be honest. I mean, when we're talking NBA during the year, as you and I do quite frequently here on Tiki and Tierney, you're not going to dive into a team that's, you know, 7 seed, 8 seed. But every time the Nets came out, a team that doesn't have a chance to win a championship, that's just the way the conversation goes in the NBA. Unlike the NFL, you might hone in on a wild card team more aggressively. The NBA, if you're a 7 or 8 seed, you're pretty much roadkill and you're an afterthought. But every time the Nets came up, I was very quick to, you know, espouse just how impressed I am with the intelligent decision makers they have. You know, I love Atkinson.
Yeah.
The culture that they established, the quick reboot, the Nets are doing things the right way. But I say that to now say this. The Nets, the Knicks, and the Clippers, forget about the Lakers. I think they're unique with LeBron, obviously. Those three teams I just mentioned, the Nets have to be right. Because what the Nets did for years, Nets had no draft picks because they went all in with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce.
Right.
They have had zero draft equity. They took, all right, 17th overall pick isn't the third or the second overall pick of the first, but it's draft equity that they've lusted after for years, that they didn't have it.
Yep.
They gave it up, and if they don't get Kyrie, they look bad. And I'll take it a step further. Even if their main target is Kyrie Irving, and I believe it is, I don't know that that's the right play.
Why?
I don't trust Kyrie Irving. I don't trust his body, and I don't trust his mind.
Yeah.
You talk about fragility, you know, usually in the physical sense. I believe not. I'm not saying he's mentally weak. Please, I would never say that about a champion who stuck a dagger to win the only Game 7 game-winning shot in the history of the NBA Finals. I'm not saying he's soft. I'm not saying, but he is too erratic emotionally. And what he did to the Celtics locker room was criminal this year.
Yeah,
criminal. The way he disrupted everything.
Who was it? Was it Rozier? Terry Rozier? Talking. I mean, Terry Rozier seemed like he couldn't stand him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He wants to be elsewhere if he comes back. And it's hard to knock a guy who's as good as Kyrie because basketball is such a it's a small sphere of influence. It's not like, you know, one guy's disrupting the entire locker room unless that one guy is disrupting what's happening on the court as well as disrupting what's happening in the locker room. And I think that's been the issue with the Boston Celtics. And Brad Stevens didn't do a good job of managing it. Now I think they played much better in the postseason than we expected them, given their troubles in the regular season. So I don't know who to give credit for that. You give Brad Stevens credit for that, and you give Kyrie credit for that because he played great for a couple of games, and then he went cold, obviously.
Remember, they thumped Milwaukee in game one. Paul Pierce says it's over.
You're right. So, I mean,
I think I may have said that, too.
Yeah. But it's hard to know. It really is because the erratic nature of some of these stars.
Yep.
It's why it's better to have, you know, guys like Kawhi or Steph, who you know are going to be good all the way through. There's no question.
Well, there's no ambiguity as to who they will be tomorrow.
Yes.
Steph Curry shows up, and Steph Curry is the same person.
Yeah. Now, he may be off.
No, that's true. I mean, but in terms of just a person, the way he interacts with people, the way he comports himself. I mean, he is pregame, postgame, Steph is the same guy.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving, there's a lot of fluctuations. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, you might think he's boring. He's not truly not fooling anybody. But Kawhi is who he is.
But he's the same guy.
And I'll tell you what, for the most part, Kevin Durant's the same guy.
He has been.
He's sensitive.
He is.
He's sensitive, but he's...
But you know that.
Exactly. I feel like you don't know what Kyrie Irving is thinking, which is why I think it's comical as we all try to assess what he's going to do this year, because this summer, because nobody really knows, even though, listen, I do think the Nets have a more than a puncher's chance to get him. You know, there's reports and there's strong innuendo. Oh, real estate agent was showing him a brownstone on the Upper East Side. Well, does that mean he's going to go play for the Knicks or the Nets? Because if he's going to go play for the Nets, he should be looking on Montague Street in downtown Brooklyn and Brooklyn Heights, not on the Upper East Side.
Where is he the best? Where is the best fit for him in your mind? Where do you see?
You want the honest answer?
Yeah.
Lakers.
Hmm.
That's, I think, the best fit for him. He's immensely gifted, but if you view Kyrie Irving, if he's the only person that you import, like if he comes and Kevin Durant's not coming with him, I don't want him.
Mm.
Yeah. I would rather lose 50 games next year and grow organically. I'm talking from the Knicks perspective, because mm-hmm. the Clippers aren't that bad and the Nets are obviously pretty good. So, I mean, the Knicks won 17 games last year. It was tough to watch.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson, I'll take my chances with Knox's growth.
Couple
you
pieces.
Take Barrett at number three.
Couple young pieces there.
Oh, hell yeah. Rather than chasing a B-minus free agent, pay him as a top-tier free agent and win 44 games, get nowhere near a championship, and then have to really reassess in 2 or 3 years again. And next year's free agent, Mike, can you pull this up, please? Next year's free agent class is horrendous. Next year's free agent class, I'm taking Anthony Davis out of it because I assume wherever he's dealt, he's going to sign an extension. Davis is the linchpin to the 2020 summer class, no doubt. Draymond Green is number two. Wow. I love Draymond for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Draymond Green goes to a bad team. What is he going to do?
Yeah, but not for...
He's not going to change anything. He's not. He's not that kind of player.
It's funny because it's interesting. You look at him. I can't see him in any other uniform. I know it might eventually happen, but I just can't see him in any other uniform. He's been such an integral part of what they've done.
I hear you. Right? I hear you. He fits that. He fits Oakland.
Yes.
Now, I know they're moving to San Francisco.
Yes, that's right.
He is a Oakland. Warrior. I'd love to see him stay there. But I think eventually he's going to want to get paid, and he's going to try to monetize those championships, as he should, especially if Durant bounces, and he might. And I think if the Warriors, and it's going to be a tough call for them because he's got an emotional connection to that state, to Northern California, it's going to be tough if they let him go because fans love him.
Yeah.
He's the pit bull.
You're
he's
right.
He's the guy that – he's the rally guy.
And he'd be great elsewhere, but I think he fits. He's fits to me for the Warriors.
Yeah. And listen, here's the other thing too. Some of these teams are going to be left at the altar. And some of these teams, based out of sheer desperation because they moved all these pieces to be in a position to get some of these players – do they then give Tobias Harris more than he's worth? Do they give Jimmy Butler the max?
Well, see,
who's
30?
Do they give Kemba Walker $200 million without Durant next to him?
See,
I wouldn't do that.
See, that's what you worry about in the scenario that you were talking about. All these teams vying. So clearing cap space and vying. What happens if you don't get them? What happens if you're left stranded?
You've got to punt, and you've got to grow organically.
Yeah, but that's so hard.
No, it's not. It's worse when you pay the wrong guy. I also do think, to be fair, Teague, I think the question you just asked, I think it's team-specific. I really do. Like, if you ask me what should the Lakers can't punt because LeBron's 35. They got to do something.
Yeah.
The Clippers, theoretically, could punt. The Nets could absolutely punt. Although, you could punt, but by giving up the first-round pick, now that changes how willing they might be to punt. Yeah. I believe Knicks fans are okay with a punt.
Rather than
signing the wrong
guy. But how? Because Knicks fans have been... I've been here for 20 years, BT. I haven't seen them good except for the Jeremy Lin stretch for a little while.
Trust
right?
me.
So,
I know.
Again?
Oh, they're going to like,
punt,
I hear you.
Punt again. It's third and, two. Oh, you only got a half a yard. Punt again.
The only reason I say that. Like.
You know, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
But teams that have been positioning themselves, we got just about right, and we're going to make this move this offseason because this is one of the best free agent classes that we're going to see, and then it doesn't happen, and you're like, oh, but we'll get them next time. But when is next time?
Well, it's not going to be 2020. I know Sam there. Mike, do you have those? I know it's Anthony Davis. Draymond is there. It's incredibly. It might be among the weaker free agent classes I've ever seen, if you exclude Anthony Davis by signing with wherever he's traded. Who do you have, Mike?
You got a couple guys with player options. Andre Drummond, player option. DeMar DeRozan, player option.
Andre Drummond would have been 1987. He's a hot commodity.
Mr. Drummond? What are you talking about, Mr. Drummond?
What are you talking about, Willis?
Porzingis.
Hold on. Trivia question. You just brought up different strokes. Every person which is a great show, every person I ask, can never. We all know the theme song. You see them driving on Park Avenue, getting in and out of a limo. How does it start? Nobody that I ask can actually answer that question. How does the theme show? Every other song, the Jeffersons, Archie Bunker, like every other old sitcom, how does the Different Strokes theme song start? No one knows.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
That's funny. Why do you not know, though?
No, I know.
But why don't people know?
I don't know. I can't. It's one of those confounding.
I don't know if I could do the entire. Like, I don't know if I know the Different Strokes theme song off the top of my head. Mr. Belvedere, I know.
Oh, sneaky good show. I like Mr.
Yeah,
Belvedere.
Yeah, moving on up, you know, the Jeffersons, you know.
Of course. Even Good Times was phenomenal.
I'm sure if I heard different strokes, I would remember it. But,
well,
like, off the top of my head, I can't do it.
Yeah. Now the world don't move to the beat. That's how it starts. Nobody knows how it starts, though.
I don't think I've ever heard those words ever uttered in the world.
Of course I did, but I don't. It's not. It doesn't snap into my head when
Mrs.
you just did
Garrett.
That.
Mr. Garrett, what a great
Now I got to look it up.
The Greatest American Hero is the greatest opening theme song.
What a horrible show that was.
Terrible show, but hilarious. Yeah. Ahead of its time.
Yeah, a little bit.
Believe it or not. Okay, anyway, so Kristaps Porzingis, Horford player option, Mike Conley player option, Gordon Hayward player option, Gallinari unrestricted.
Not a savior there, like I said. It's weak.
Kyle Lowry.
We love Kyle. You're not paying Kyle at that point for anything.
No.
Except maybe if he's your seventh man.
They're going to win a championship. He's going to hang around.
So again,
Toronto, an icon forever.
There has to be forward thinking. The good organizations do this, and I do believe the desperate ones may ignore this. But if you're smart, you have to say to yourself, "Man, even if we whiff this year, you can't just flippantly say, we'll get it next year in free agency." Who do you want from that list?
Not
Conley's got a bum foot. He's 31 years old.
Not many for the max number that they're going to be asking for.
That's what I'm saying. Hayward's not the same player. Draymond's got deficiencies, even though he's a beast. You know, he's not a superstar. I didn't hear one name. Andre Drummond, please. Yes, Tiki. Yes, Mike.
DeRozan was on that list as well.
I don't want DeMar DeRozan.
I mean, he's a good number three guy.
Yeah, who's going to want max money? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
But here's the thing. In today's NBA salary cap, max money, it doesn't really matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the third guy off your bench is getting $18 million a year at this point. It's ridiculous.
Of course it matters.
Yeah, but you can only
you can only have a couple of them.
So that's the issue.
Yeah.
So if you give it to a guy who doesn't necessarily deserve it, you're not getting another one or two.
Correct.
When one comes available.
Absolutely. There's a reason why the Rockets can't do a damn thing this summer because they're giving Chris Paul $40 million and Harden's getting paid. And Capella's actually manageable, about 15 or 16 mil. You think they need some bench help? Yeah, they do. They can't because they don't have the wiggle room. did you say salary cap doesn't matter in the NBA?
No, I'm just saying in today's NBA, a guy making $18 million off your bench, it's almost like you don't even feel it.
But you do is what I'm saying. All right, coming up next here. Get to the blast, obviously. You know, I don't know if everybody would agree with how we just position this about, and I want to take calls on this, 855-212-4227. Your team, you got a boatload of cap space. You're dying to win, but you whiff on the big boys. We all know who they are. You overpay for the B plus or B minus C plus player just to become competitive, or do you punt and figure it out down the road? What's the more prudent play? We'll get some calls on that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Got your number, don't you worry. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. It's to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, I have a couple things I want to play for you. I think they're all interesting listens. One is from Steph Curry. As we know, this is the final year at Oracle, and if things don't change fast, this will be the final game at Oracle. So we're going to hear from Steph, Klay Thompson on not playing in game four.
Four.
You and I talked about this, obviously. He didn't seem very, very, very thrilled with the decision.
No.
Very stoically staring ahead. And I also want to play something from Kawhi. But let's play Steph Curry first. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you can't get too wrapped up in the history of the building. But, you know, I'm sure when you're driving and maybe you drive it into the building, coming in off 101, wherever you're coming in from, going into over the Bay Bridge, whatever, coming in from Walnut Creek out there. You think about that.
Yeah.
You need downtime if you're a player, I think.
I think a little bit, but not when you're playing.
No, not on the car. I don't mean that.
No, it's just, I mean, if they lose tonight, then I think it might be an emotional thing. But otherwise, you can't let it creep in like that. The Warriors got to concentrate more than they have in a long time in their finals history over the last 4+ years now. Because this Toronto team feels it, man. If they go back to Toronto up 3-1, I mean, it could be Katie bar the door, right? So it's not about the emotion of the building right now for the Golden State Warriors. It's about we got to find a way to win.
Speaking of emotion, as we suspected, Klay Thompson not exactly enthralled with the decision to keep himself on the bench. He wanted to play, as we know. But the medical team stepping in and probably saving himself from maybe missing the rest of the series, and which equates to the season. Here's Klay on not playing in game four. Man, this guy's a gem.
Yeah.
He's just a low-maintenance, smart, sensible, reliable gem.
Yeah, he'll get the max.
No doubt about it, he'll get the max.
And should stay.
Yeah, he'll get the max. Yeah, I think he'll stay. I don't think he'll leave, but you never know.
I just can't, I mean.
I don't think he's going to leave, but you never know.
Yeah, you don't.
You never know. Did we think that, this is different because it was dealt, but did we think that Kawhi would be on the Raptors? Did we think LeBron would wind up in Miami?
No.
Back in 2010?
It doesn't seem like there's underlying issues with this Golden State Warrior team. There were underlying issues with Pop and Kawhi, clearly. Mm-hmm. And I don't see it. It feels like the right place.
I hear you. I'm not disagreeing. You know, we talk about legacy a lot, and sometimes you just wonder how the players compartmentalize it. If they really give it much thought, it's hard for them to get away from it because everything you flip on, we're debating legacy. I don't think I've really heard Kawhi ever really. He was asked this question. Here's Kawhi Leonard on his own legacy.
How much do you think these guys care about that?
I think certain guys care a lot more than others. I think Durant and LeBron really care. Yeah. I don't think Kyrie is as.
I don't think he cares at all.
I think he cares a little bit. I do. I also think it's different for him because he's got something nobody else has ever done in the history of the game, and that's knocking down, I said this before, a game-winning shot in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's never happened before.
Yeah.
Game 7.
You're talking about Kyrie. I'm talking about Kawhi.
I don't think he cares, Kawhi Leonard.
I don't think he cares at all.
I think LeBron cares, and I think Durant cares.
Yeah, I do. But other than that, Kawhi seems like he plays the game for a different reason. And I said this while you were out, BT. Mm-hmm. He's like the anti-superstar. Like, he doesn't have that same feel about him.
He's the anti-modern superstar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right. Magic and Bird were this way. Magic, no. if they
Magic,
trust me.
Magic
they,
was,
I know Magic was seemed a little Hollywood. No, Magic was all about
Magic
teammates.
Loved the scene. But he loved the scene. I'm talking, Kawhi just doesn't love this. He doesn't care. Right? If you talk about him, great. If you don't talk about him, great. He's still going to go. He doesn't thrive off of adulation.
Yeah.
You know,
I would totally agree with that.
And it's rare, especially now. It's so rare now. I'm trying to think of anyone currently that's that elite that just doesn't seem to care what you think.
Do you think Steph really cares?
If
he does, he does a pretty good job hiding it.
Doesn't
get wrapped up and I've never seen him in a Twitter beef. You don't really debate intensely anything negative or...
Yeah. That's interesting.
We always
probably
best
not.
Shooter of all time.
Tim Duncan's that way.
Yeah,
other
for
sports,
sure.
You can find some. Not Mike Trout. I mean, he doesn't do anything to self-promote himself.
I read a great article about Mike Trout. Where did I find it? Keith Law wrote it on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody... This is a quick aside. Anybody wants to read it, it was yesterday on ESPN.com. About how the Angels, in essence, stumbled upon Mike Trout. What did they draft him? 21, I want to say? 21? 22? 23. Early 20s. Great piece. And all the regional scouts, the cross-checkers, everybody weighed in, guys that are now with different organizations. Really well-written piece. Very interesting, if you want to check that out. Yeah, but I just think it's very hard to be a superstar today. I mean, I think it was relatively easy for guys in the 80s and 90s, they got paid.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the trappings of life. They had the limos. They had, if they wanted
but
it, they had
reported,
drugs.
Nobody reported it.
No. They had women. Mm-hmm. They had every velvet rope was lifted up. But they were still able to blend in a little bit, as you say. Like, they were able to still lead a little bit of as normal as they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, even if he can't lead a normal life, I mean, he tries.
Yeah.
He's a family man, devout religious man. But there's still something that's abnormal about his existence because so many people care about what he does.
Yeah, know who he is, know what he looks like.
Yeah.
Will bother him when they see him.
Yeah.
And you can't escape it.
No.
And you never will.
No. And when you have tens of millions of people dissecting your every move, it's very challenging to remain normal because you probably feel more important than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to suppress your ego, and it takes a really well-balanced and selfless, grounded person to be able to deal with
Which is why Kawhi, who clearly is that, handles everything, good, bad, whatever, so well. Even if it frustrates us that we don't hear from him.
The only thing that, but do you think all Spurs fans say that he handled things well? Differently. It's a different critique. But I don't think they're saying that he handled things well. I don't think they like him.
I would love at some point to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we ever will, but.
We'll try. We'll keep digging. All right, we'll get the update for Mac. We'll come back. We'll do the blast here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a final prediction tonight. Let's get Axe update right now. Here's Rich.
All right, guys, and a surprise from the NFL is the Texans have fired general manager Brian Gain a year and a half into his five-year deal. The NBA Finals resume tonight at Oracle Arena with the two-time defending champion Warriors trailing the Raptors 2-1. Klay Thompson returns to Golden State, but his effectiveness is still uncertain due to a hamstring injury. Steph Curry put in a yeoman's effort in Game 3 with 47, but couldn't do it alone. He was aggressive from the start Wednesday and said his teammates need to be the same tonight.
Okay, still a lot to do here on Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio going to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day right now. Then we'll do the blast. Final predictions on the game tonight. All right, we answer it, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coming in from Daniel Occioli, or Occioli, if it's a hard C, at Resbin 90. Can the Warriors win the title without KD coming back? Straight up, simple stuff?
Yeah, I think they can. And I don't even know if KD comes back how effective he's going to be. Obviously, he's seven-footer, best player in the league right now, but still, he hasn't played in a month, BT.
Yep.
So I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Obviously more challenging. And if Kevin Durant does come back, even if you can't expect him to pump in 35 or 40.
No.
But he does help with spacing, which helps out Steph, which helps out Klay, which helps out Draymond, you know, dribbling through the seam. Just having him on the court for 25, 30 minutes would be huge. But even if he does not come back, they obviously have to win tonight. And then I would say, yes, definitely have a chance. But they're in a rough spot. I mean, they're banged up. They're banged up. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here. I know David in Alabama want to chime in on the free agent stuff from earlier, and then we'll get to the blast and give you predictions tonight. David, what's happening, buddy? You're on Tiki and Tierney. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. First one I want to say in Alabama here, that this is for Tiki here, that Kawhi Leonard, no emotion, Jalen Hurts.
That's a good one.
When you don't play well, people think you have that you don't have any heart.
Yeah.
But it's just the way he is.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Jalen Hurts, and he's handled – everybody's talked about it over the last couple of years. He's handled that better than I think a lot of young stars in college would have been able to handle it.
Yeah. Although I haven't heard anybody say Kawhi has no heart. Nor have I heard anybody say that about Jalen Hurts.
No, but he's just saying there's a similarity between how Jalen Hurts carries himself.
Yeah.
He's steady Eddie. Whatever you need me to do, I'm doing.
My other thing is KD, that, you know, somebody need to tell him it's the finals. You know, is he resting up for free agency, or is he realize that they need him pretty badly?
Yeah, no. I mean,
no. Thanks, pal.
Look,
he's hurt.
This is not a mild strain.
No.
That's how they put it when it first happened. It was 30 days ago, BT. Mm-hmm. 30 days. He had a mild strain in his calf. We thought he would play beginning of the East Western Conference Finals at some point. And here we are already going four games in to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, right.
And he's not ready. He's been on the court one time. Mm-hmm. It didn't go well. He's not playing in Game 5, and maybe he gets back for Game 6 or Game 4, I should say, which is tonight.
Yep.
Maybe he gets back for Game 5, but how effective can he be? He hasn't been doing anything, and even if he does,
shoot stationary.
Agreed, but think about the defensive liability that he becomes. It's the same conversation we had about Klay for Game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need him to be a defender as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's long. He's tall. Mm-hmm. Spacing on offense is great, but don't get taken advantage of on the defensive side as well.
All right, let's get to the blast.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here it is. Frank Gore's son is going to go play for Lane Kiffin at FAU. Would you want your son? You and I both have sons.
Yeah.
Would you want him to play for Lane?
He's going to learn a lot. Lane's smart. Mm-hmm. He's a little tricky, but he's smart. The only reason you wouldn't is because you don't know when Lane's going to bounce.
Ah, you stole my answer.
That's true.
I didn't think he'd come up with that. That's very fair.
Yeah. I mean, what were they last year, Samter? 5-7. They had a really good 2017.
Mm-hmm.
2017, because 2019 right now. Last year was, I was just confirming. But you forget, like some of these years they cross over.
Yeah.
Like they go, it's like 17-18 or 18-19.
Yeah, I got you.
Right? But college football does it.
Yeah.
I did that game. I told you, you guys, you know this, Oklahoma, yeah. FAU to start the season.
That's right. Blown out. Yeah,
like,
got lit up.
It was going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, I would, but I'd be worried because he might leave.
Is he a running back? I assume he is, right? He's an offensive player. Yeah. I mean, if my son was a skill position player, depending upon the level of offers, I mean, now let's face it, when you accept a deal, no disrespect to FAU, that probably means that, you know, Nick Saban mm-hmm. and Notre Dame and LSU and some other powers, Michigan, aren't coming after
yeah.
you. So it seems like a pretty good option. Well, yeah, why not? This was an interesting story. I didn't bring this up on the air, but I followed this. So Yankee minor leaguer Matt Liptko reportedly getting death threats, all right? After bunting in the ninth inning to break up a combined no-hitter. Was he off base or was it okay with a bunt? First of all, you have to know the score, and it was 3-0. And anybody, death threats aside, I mean, that level of idiocy and instability in the mind, I can't even speak to that. From a baseball point of view, did Matt Liptko do the right thing? Hell yeah, he did.
Yeah.
You're down 3-0. You need a bloop and a walk and a blast to tie the game up. If they're pinching the lines, which you know they are, they don't want to give up a double down the line. I'll show the hands. I'll drop down a bunt. I'll beat it out. You got a problem with the tough.
It's
bunted it right down the first base line. Good for him.
It's also the minor leagues. And it wasn't one. You're not ruining one guy's chance at a no-hitter.
And by the way, even if it was one guy,
yeah.
and even if it was, say, Chris Sale or any, yeah, he's not playing well this year. Cole Hamels threw a gem yeah. today. I think he won 3-1. He went 8 innings for the Cubbies, who looked really good. If it was Cole Hamels at the big league level and a Cardinal did it today, I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
Provided it's not 8-0, 11, you know.
Yeah, it's not a blowout. It's
3-0.
I don't mind this. Minor leagues. Combined no-hitter.
I know, but even if it was the majors and it was not combined.
I'm just saying, but it was the minors.
Well, they're just trying to get their hustle on. Don't minimize the minor leagues.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
Crazy play. I don't think I saw this. In the KBO Baseball League in Korea. You see this?
It just was on the MLB Network.
Millar and those guys. Yeah, yeah. Chris Rose had it. So it sees a pop-up bounced off the shortstop's head. Wow, what is that? Canseco playing shortstop? And right into the left fielder's mitt for an out. More amazed by the play or embarrassed for the fielder?
I mean, it's amazed by the play. It's just the way that it happened. It's just.
I'd like to see this.
It doesn't make any
sense.
Great job by the right left fielder here. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the play, because he keeps his hustle on mm-hmm. and he's running towards the ball.
You got to describe the play for me.
So
is the shortstop retreating, going backwards?
He's retreating back to like mid center.
Is his back to the catcher?
No. He's back.
He's
doing it the wrong way. To BT's point,
depends how deep it is. But it's
middle center field. So
you got to turn your back to home plate and go get it.
He's 10, 15 feet into the outfield.
I got you.
But he backpedaled the whole way.
And that's the outfielder's ball. You call him off, by
no
the
doubt.
Way.
Yeah. The center fielder, for some reason, isn't hustling.
Okay.
The left fielder is.
All right.
Hits the shortstop in the head, probably because he called
top
it
off.
Top
of the head or the bill of the cap?
Like right in the bill of the cap.
Okay.
And it bounces right up into the left fielder's hand. Here's the problem.
Did he catch it with his glove or his bare hand?
Glove. Here's the problem. Bobby Valentine rails on this. The infielder should never, ever call, I got it.
We have talked about this.
The infielder can't do that because instinctually, when you hear it, you back off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the infielders are absolutely can't speak. The outfielders are the only ones that can do it. And as soon as the infielder hears it, he's got to back off. If he doesn't hear it, keep going for it.
Now, Bobby distinguishes, and this happened a lot as a former first baseman, and I hated pop-ups, but if there's a pop-up in the infield, Somebody's got to say, I got it.
I'm talking about outfielders.
I got you.
Like when the outfielder is coming in, you gotta give leeway.
And it seems like the
shortstop was saying, I got it.
And then he got it right off the dome. Exactly. Very simple rule here. Just, you know, go get it until somebody calls you out, and that's the outfielder's ball.
You're right.
Always easier to come in than go out.
No
All right. How about this? Women's World Cup begins today. All right. USA. Who are we playing?
France won 3-0.
Oh, we already lost?
No. What? Not against us. Against who they play?
Who are we playing today? I'm just asking
Korea,
who we're playing today. I didn't ask about France.
We're not playing today, I don't believe.
Women's World. Yeah, the women's. Who are we playing?
Sam just should have known this.
I thought you guys were such big soccer fans. How do you not know who we're playing? This is what
4-0.
I mean.
4-0
this
South Korea.
This is exactly what I mean. Big soccer guy back
it's
there.
The first,
as Sam goes to Google, who the women U.S. were. You don't even know.
It's the first,
you guys are clowns.
It's the first day.
They don't play till Tuesday. They play Thailand.
They don't
clowns.
Play. They're not playing today, Sam.
They're not playing. They're not even playing this week.
Who are we playing in game one?
Thailand.
Okay.
On Tuesday.
You had to look it up on Google or whatever, and you didn't know the answer.
I played golf.
And you wasted 17 minutes of my life yesterday telling me how great soccer is. You know,
yeah, I watch men's soccer. I don't watch women's soccer.
I don't watch women's soccer either.
I don't watch the WNBA. I couldn't name three teams in WNBA.
Again, D-Cell. I know you're like, oh, boy. Tiger.
You just didn't want to answer.
I don't even know what the question was, to be honest with you. I mean, I want us to win, but
why are the women so dominant while the men... I told you this. Do we have this answer conversation on air?
Go ahead. Say whatever you want, though.
I don't think we did, because we were talking about my boy, Claudio Reyna, from University of Virginia. For a short time, he was head of USA Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this because I was living in Westchester, and a lot of the moms, parents in Westchester got upset that their kids, by USA Soccer directive, mm-hmm. were told they couldn't play on their high school teams. They can only play on the USA developmental squad.
Gotcha.
And so some kids are probably like, I'm not going to play soccer then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to play with my high school, so I'm not going to go into the US developmental. I don't know if that's the case.
Yep.
But you could see how that could create a little void in developing soccer players.
See that?
And so 10 years later, 15 years later, your US soccer team isn't good.
The residue from, if that's true,
I don't know if that's empirical.
That's going to spill into a generation or two of soccer players. Soccer players. Why'd you suck me back into that? I was ready to move on.
Because you wanted to move on without answering the question.
Tiger Woods.
I wouldn't let you.
Tiger paired with Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose for next week's U.S. Open. That's going to be a Pebble Beach.
Tiger.
Who finishes the Open with the best score among these three?
Tiger.
You going to say Tiger?
I'm going to say Tiger.
People
are already complaining about Pebble Beach.
I've read some of those. Yeah, well, not just Pebble Beach for sure, but the U.S. Open venue's taken a hit the last couple of years here. I do agree. I like what I saw from Tiger, ball striking the last event over at Jack's great event, the Memorial. Spieth, I know he's starting to get it together a little bit, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he's fully back. And Justin Rose is a world-class player, so I would never rule him out. But it's Tiger time. He knows every nook and cranny of that course. Let's go get it, T. Woods. Come on now.
I would agree.
Come on, Tiger.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Warriors 114. The Raptors 103 tonight. Double digit win by the Dubs.
When does it pull away, and who's the leading scorer?
I think it's going to be pretty well balanced. I think that Steph, I don't think Steph goes for 43. I could see Steph pop it in 31. I could see Clay going 21, 22. I could see Boogie bouncing back with an efficient game.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody off the bench, I don't know if it's going to be McKinney, somebody is going to have a night like some of the Raptors reserves had the other night. Warriors win this game.
Yeah, hopefully it's Quinn Cook, because that means maybe that's three-pointers. Here's the interesting thing. You saw this in game three.
Yeah.
We saw Steph active around the rim as a rebounder, as a creator, mm-hmm. self-creator, in a way we haven't seen in a few years. Yeah. I kind of like that.
Can't wait for this game. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great tonight.
I'm off next week. Tiggs got you solo. Hold it down, partner. I know you will.
Always.
Maybe I'll call them from the golf course.
Be safe.
I'm not
hit them straight.
I'll hit them often. I don't know how straight they're going to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. And Tiggs got you next week.
Peace.
Got to go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.